tell me you've turned 50 without telling me you've turned 50. And all you have to do is get a camera bird feeder in your backyard of your new house.
Or a hummingbird feeder. I don't have time.
Dana has become obsessed, for those of you who are new to the show.
Don't forget the hummingbird feeder for your finger.
Love it.
Are we going to get the helmet?
It's on back order.
Okay. Is it really?
It is, for real.
Oh, my God.
So I pick up the phone today, and I reach out to our friends at the Audubon Society, and here's why. One of our region's meteorologists posted today, make sure your bird feeders are chock full of food. We are right in the middle of a massive bird migration over Kansas and Missouri. We welcome in the executive director of the Kansas Audubon Society, Jackie Augustine. Thank you for joining us on such short notice.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're learning so much. The meteorologists are into this because it turns out the radar is what tracks the birds and their migratory patterns, correct?
Yeah, it's amazing. Most of the time you don't see that on the nightly news because they cut that out so you don't get confused. But yeah, because birds' bodies are 70% water, you can pick them up on radar when there's enough of them in the air.
What kind of birds are we talking about here, Jackie?
Could be any kind of birds. Now that it's late August, early September, shorebirds are coming through, and warblers are going to be peaking pretty soon. So that's what we're looking at. But we're starting to get, you know, some ducks moving in, some raptors moving in. It's an exciting time to be a birder.
So I read this, that we are right in the middle here in Kansas City on two pathways, if you will, the Central Flyway and the Mississippi Flyway, which is apparently why in Kansas City specifically, we have some billion birds migrating back and forth, right?
Yeah. Being right there in the middle of the country, we get a lot of birds that come right down the middle, and it's a great place. And yeah, they use major waterways like the Mississippi and Missouri to navigate, along with other factors. But yeah, we get tons of birds, and it's a great place to be during migration.
Now, I will say this, Jackie. I have watched with great amazement as Dana has surpassed the age of 50. And I don't know if that's like a gateway to birding or being a birder, but I have watched her become a birder over the last year or so, and it's been quite fascinating. But go ahead.
I was going to say, actually, since COVID, bird watching has become a lot more common. When people slowed down and started looking outside, they're starting to explore and find things in their own backyards that they didn't even know was there. So it's becoming more and more common.
And as a 50-year-old man, or 54-year-old man, I must confess, I have started to find myself more and more attracted to birder sorts of things. But I do have one question, and this is I have never gotten an answer for this. Why are Canada geese such jerks?
There are certain groups of birds that people love to hate, and I think Canada geese is one of them. It's hard to believe that my grandfather used to help get them back because we almost lost the Canada goose, and now they're kind of a nuisance.
They're kind of all we had. They're everywhere, Jackie.
Yep, so they're not a problem anymore.
So serious question, because we didn't know this until I started nosing around, and then my mom sent me one of those birder cameras, which I think has really exploded for folks like me that didn't really have an interest before. Now you can see them all the time in your backyard in a way that, you know, technology didn't used to allow. Birding is actually a multi-billion dollar industry. And when we looked that up on the show, Jackie, about a year ago, I didn't believe it. I thought, what do you mean it's a driver of the U.S. economy? I could not believe people spent this much money watching what has always been right out in front of us our entire lives.
Yeah, there's new ways to watch the birds in our own backyard. And then once you get hooked on that, then you're like, well, if I go a little bit farther, maybe I can see some different birds and a little bit farther. And yeah, there's people traveling the country to see the birds.
Well, I would say a hawk, and I know there are different species of hawks, is probably my favorite bird. My favorite yard bird, it would be a red cardinal. Do you have a favorite bird?
I have several. I can't limit it. My two favorite ones are greater and lesser prairie chicken. I've been studying them for 20 years, and Audubon of Kansas holds a festival each spring, and we get 150 people from all over the country to come out to Hayes, Kansas to see our prairie chickens. But a bird that is probably a little bit more common, that's my third favorite, is the chickadee. I just love how they're so spunky, and they're pretty much anywhere. Like every time you go bird watching, you'll see one. So I just love them.
Jackie, in my backyard so far, I get a lot of sparrows, I get a lot of hummingbirds, and I get woodpeckers. If you want more of a variety, what can someone that's just starting out do?
I always say the best food to offer is black oil sunflower. That's your good around all around, which will attract your cardinals and sparrows and things like that. If you want to try and expand and get more woodpeckers, you can feed them suet, which is a type of rendered beef fat. You can find it in little squares in the stores. You could try offering sickle seed. That attracts the lovely goldfinches.
Sickle seed?
Thistle.
Oh, thistle. Got it.
Yes. And yeah, hummingbirds are attracted to sugar water. Make it yourself. One part sugar, four parts water, and no dye. That's what's best for them.
You said no dye or they will die.
No, no dye. I've heard that, not to buy it pre-made, that you can just make it at home, Jackie. What is it about birds that would surprise people, or especially for our younger audience members? You know, it's just such a silly thing. They've just always been a part of our life. But there really is much more to it than that if you decide to really dig deep and learn. And I'm getting educated every single day.
Yeah. For the younger audience, if they love Pokemon Go, bird watching is like the real life Pokemon Go. That if you go out with people, you'll see different birds, and you can go looking for different birds. It can be like a scavenger hunt. If you kind of do the research and find out where those birds are and what kind of habitats they are in and what time of year. So it's really, kind of exciting to go out and see things that are unexpected.
Our producer, Sam, wants to know, are birds real or are they surveillance tools by the CIA?
Okay. I'm pretty sure they're real, but, I haven't studied that personally.
And Jackie, you wanted to tell us about a festival you guys have coming up. How can people get involved in that?
Yeah, Audubon of Kansas is offering a Celebration of Cranes Festival. We offer guided tours to Covera National Wildlife Refuge, and it's the November 7th and 8th this year, and it's the peak of crane migration. And so thousands of sandhill cranes will be passing through, and three out of the four last years, we've been able to show people the endangered whooping crane. There's only less than 600 of them left in the wild. Oh, and wow. To see a few of those individuals as they stop at that critical stopover point in Kansas, it's just amazing. And so registration will be opening next week, and you can get more information at audubonofkansas.org.
Audubonofkansas.org. Jackie Augustine, the executive director of the Audubon of Kansas, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Be well.
Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.